The NHL is accelerating its timeline to decide when its season should return.
Over the past 10 days, things have gone from the theoretical to real detail.
That's Pierre LeBrun, the NHL columnist from The Athletic. He joined us on the show today to discuss how close the NHL really is to making a decision on if and when hockey games will resume. I'm Seth Davis from The Athletic, and this is The Comeback, COVID-19 and the Return of Sports. We begin today's show with some good news on several fronts in several sports as they try to make their way back to the field of play. First, in the NBA, our own Sam Amick and Shams Charania are reporting that the NBA has cited Orlando as the clear front runner to be the place where the NBA resumes its season and continues on, hopefully, through the playoffs. Charania is also reporting that the NBA is making progress on the critical question of testing. The league is in conversation with several medical testing companies to make sure they have everything in order to keep their players safe. In the world of soccer, some news to report for Major League Soccer. A team of reporters here at The Athletic say that league is quickly advancing on a planned early season tournament that will also be played in Orlando, Florida. The Athletic's soccer reporter Sam Stayskill tells The Comeback that all 26 teams would play in Orlando and that those 26 teams will be broken up into four groups.
Every team would then play five games. Top two teams from each group would move to a knockout round. And the working plan is for those five round robin games to count towards the regular season. It doesn't sound like the knockout round would count towards the regular season. It's not quite clear what would be at stake for the knockout round, which would be eight teams, as I mentioned. And then if all goes well, they would return to their home markets and resume the regular season and progress toward an eventual playoff, which as of now, per the working plan, would be expanded to nine teams per conference.
The MLS has already developed a tagline for this potential tournament. MLS is back. Sounds good to me. The hope is that the league will be able to start its season safely and with a bang.
MLS wants to be first back. There's no secret there. That's something that the league is looking for. They've long struggled with TV ratings and trying to build an audience. And their new TV deal will be coming into effect after the 2022 season. Those negotiations are going to be huge for the league. They only get $90 million in revenue per year from TV in their current agreement. And if they're going to build to where they want to build before the 2026 World Cup and put themselves on a positive trajectory heading into that tournament, which will be hosted in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, then they're going to need to significantly up that revenue.
Although it should be noted that the MLS players have yet to approve this plan, but hopefully it moves forward and we get to see them in action again. Now let's turn to hockey. The Athletic's Pierre LeBrun is reporting that the NHL has sent its return-to-play proposal to the league's Players Association. Pierre joins us today to talk about the latest in hockey's efforts to get back on the ice. Hello, Pierre. Good to be with you. Thanks for joining the pod. Before we get into what's happening now and moving forward, give our listeners a review on what happened when everything shut down. At what point of the season was the NHL when the coronavirus shut everything down?
Yeah, 85% of the regular season played. I think it's technically 83%, but 85% of the regular season played. There was about 3.5 weeks of regular season games left. A lot of the jockeying was clear at the top, but certainly not around the wildcard spots. Not a lot separating teams in the middle, especially. So that left things kind of frozen and has led to a lot of speculation. And I know some interesting discussion internally at both the National Hockey League and the NHLPA as to what's fair when it's time to drop the puck again.
So let's get on with that then. Give us a sense and an update of exactly where things stand with the NHL. Do you feel like they're moving their way back to the ice?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think we'll see any games before mid to late July at the earliest. I think they're getting closer to agreeing on a format. There's not only one on the table, but the one that seems to generate the most interest is coming back with 24 teams instead of the 31 teams, basically eliminating the seven teams that were really out of it in terms of the playoff race. And then within that 24-team scenario, you know, how do you get from the 24 to the 16 teams that normally make the playoffs? That's still being discussed. But beyond all that, there's still a lot to go through, I was told by another source, on all the other protocols, right? In terms of where the NHL will resume. There's talk of either resuming play in two hub cities or four hub cities. So 2 to 4 cities where they want to create a bubble and have the players protected within that, massively tested within that. and sort of resume the season from there. But a lot of those details are still being ironed out and are not figured out yet.
So if we do come back with this 24 team model, where does that leave the other seven? Are they happy about that or not happy about that? Obviously, they're pretty much eliminated from playoff contention, but the inability to play and how would the revenue would be distributed, how would the quote unquote other seven be feeling about that idea?
Well, I don't think anyone's happy about anything right now in life in general, but I think those seven teams, if you were to give them some truth serum, Seth, I think they'd be, let's say, relieved not to come back and play because, you know, and I've talked to some players on those teams, what's the motivation 4 to 5 months later after last having played a game to return for a handful of games knowing that you can't make the playoffs anyway? So it was going to be a tough sell on those bottom seven teams and probably the toughest pill to swallow is for Buffalo because they're so close to Montreal in the standings, but Montreal would just get it ahead of Buffalo's there. Our understanding based on points percentage. But for the most part, both at the front office level and among most players on those teams, I think they'd be just as happy that they wouldn't be part of a season resumption just because they didn't have a chance realistically to play for the Stanley Cup.
And of course, as we get to each phase, Pierre, you know, the first thing obviously would have to be get these athletes back on the ice and back into training. We're seeing these other sports opening up their facilities for individual workouts, maybe even small group workouts with certain protocols. So where would the NHL fit in on that? How soon until their players can get back into their facilities working out with their coaches and specific trainers to get them physically ready to play again?
Yeah, that's a great point, Seth. And like other sports, that is the next step. And unlike other sports, though, I mean, and I've talked to NHL players about this during the pause, that hockey players are so different than other athletes in this particular way is that nothing replaces a skating stride. If you're not on the ice, you're not on the ice, right? And this is probably as long as most NHL players have ever gone without skating outside of the 04-05 NHL lockout that wiped out the entire year. But even then, they would have skated on their own. I mean, they've not been allowed in arenas wherever they live. And so that's of great concern to some of the players I've talked to because they need to get ice time before they really start to feel themselves again. You can work out all you want, and these guys are amazing athletes, but the skating stride is a skating stride. So they cannot wait for the small group workouts to begin and the NHL facilities to open. If they're going to start playing games in mid to late July, and again, that's not written in stone either. They could delay that to later in the summer. But let's say trying to take advantage of the void left by the Summer Olympics no longer being on NBC, NBC's big NHL partner, the hope here from everyone involved is to try to put some hockey on during those hours. If you're going to do that, then you got to have phase two start, I would think, by June 1st or around the first week of June, at the latest mid-June. And then you want to start training camps, I would think, probably early July. These are the exact type of details I know that the committee is still trying to hash out.
Yeah, that doesn't leave us much time to get that moving along. I mean, you talked about the TV aspect with NBC not having the Olympics. Has the impact of the games being shut down, Pierre, has that hit the players' paychecks yet? I would imagine that would be a motivating factor.
So, yeah, that's an interesting thing. And on the very first governor's call, the same call where the NHL decided to pause its season on March 12th, Commissioner Bettman instructed all the owners and the governors on the call to continue to pay out players to the end of the season. So their last paycheck was April 15th. It was sort of a half to two-thirds paycheck because it was just basically 6 days in April left in the season, the regular season. And the players have not yet cashed those checks. So the NHLPA decided to defer that last paycheck. It's quite a healthy debate, an important one happening among NHL players, is that they owe escrow big time right now. So the way the NHL system is set up is they share in the pie with the owners 50-50. So hockey-related revenue is split evenly between the players and the owners. But obviously, since the players have continued to have gotten paid since the pause and the NHL has not made a dime since the pause, that 50-50 split is obviously not accurate right now. The players at this point will have been compensated more than what they were supposed to make. So because of that, the players are debating ultimately whether they forego their last paycheck to start taking their medicine now, or they may decide to take the cash now and worry about the rest later. And a lot of this has to do with a future CBA in the NHL. And I think a lot of people on both sides have told me that there's a way to help both the players and the owners get through some really turbulent financial times here over the next couple of years, it might be to, you know, to sign a long-term extension CBA-wise to sort of forge some stability out of that.
Last question real quick, Pierre. Is there any scenario being discussed that would include fans?
Not really. In fact, we had Steve Mayer, the NHL's events guru, who's basically the guy responsible, him and his team, for planning how all of this will look when the season resumes. And he confirmed on our podcast, A Two-Man Advantage, myself and Scott Birdside, that there's no question they're coming back without fans. But I guess as time goes on, let's see what the world looks like, right? I mean, if something dramatic happens late in the summer, early in the fall, and hockey games are still being played, where it seems safer to have fans at least spaced out, who knows?
A lot to follow, and hopefully things will keep progressing to get these guys back on the ice. Pierre, thanks for being on The Comeback today, and we'll look forward to following your coverage on The Athletic.
Well, I love the name of this podcast because we need sports to come back. So perfect. Thanks, guys.
That again, Pierre LeBrun, the National Hockey League columnist for The Athletic. You are listening to The Comeback, presented by The Athletic. Hope you'll follow us on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We are going to track all the major issues, all the major sports, as we hopefully move towards a resumption of play. And to hear more about the NHL's progress towards returning, subscribe to Pierre's podcast, The Two-Man Advantage, and read him at The Athletic. Thanks for listening, everybody.